السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أنه قال: من آثر دنياه أضر بآخرته، ومن اختار آخرته أضر بدنياه، فآثروا ما يبقى على ما يفنى. أو كما قال: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذريته. The great Sahabi, Sayyiduna Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he once advising the people, he said to them that, O people, whoever seeks to benefit his world, he will definitely harm his akhirah. And whoever seeks to benefit his akhirah, he will definitely harm his world. Meaning every person has a choice. فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Therefore, give preference to that which is everlasting over that which is temporary. What is Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu saying here? He is not saying that a person has to choose between this world and the hereafter, in the sense that either you must work from the hereafter, which means that you cannot gain anything in this world, or leave the hereafter in its entirety and only focus on this world. No. What he is saying here is that a person in his quest to make his hereafter, in his quest to attain Jannah, in his quest to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to carry out what is compulsory and stay away from what is prohibited. Carry out farz, wajib, stay away from haram, makruh, tahrimi. And if he does anything else, that is a bonus. If he carries out sunnah, mustahab, nawafil, that is a bonus. Now in this journey, not every time, but sometimes it will happen that a crunch will come. What do I mean? Let us take a very simple example. A person comes for the Dhuhr Salah. In coming for the Dhuhr Salah, he doesn't feel that he has to sacrifice anything of the world. He's alhamdulillah, he still sacrificed something, he's taking some time out. But he doesn't feel there is no major sacrifice, no significant harm to his worldly affairs. Performs his Asr Salah. No significant harm to his worldly affairs. Comes Maghrib time. Maghrib time is the prime time for his business, his shop. To perform his salah, he needs to close his shop temporarily. Now there is a crunch. Because now he has a choice, he must choose one of the two. For Dhuhr and Asr, he was okay. He managed to close his shop, whatever it was the case, and it was not a busy time, so he did not lose anything or much. So there was no clash. He was, as we say, best of both worlds. His business was running fine and there was no damage to his akhirah as well. But when Maghrib came, now there was a clash. And when there is a clash, a person has to take an option. And Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is talking about such moments.
where a person has a choice. If he chooses the hereafter, it will definitely harm some worldly progress of his. And if he chooses the world, it will definitely harm some progress of the hereafter of his. Comes Fajr time. There is a clash. What is the clash between? This time the clash is that on one side is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command of performing salah. On the other side is my comfort, which is an aspect of this world. Here again there is a clash. He has to give preference to one of the two. And in practicing upon deen, clashes will always come. Clashes will always come. There is a verse in the glorious Quran. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِن قَبْلِكُمْ. In the second juice. And what is being said in this verse? There is an incident. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they are in the Meccan era. In the era of Mecca. In the Mecca era, it is not incorrect to say they were being tortured. They were being tortured. Now the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were very firm in the Iman. But in that era, they reached a point of extreme difficulty. So a group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it's too much. We can't bear anymore. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove these calamities, meaning to remove them immediately. That the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes immediately. When the Sahaba radiallahu anhu made this request, then this verse was revealed. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in this verse? أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِن قَبْلِكُمْ. Do you think you will enter Jannah? وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِن قَبْلِكُمْ. Whereas those testing times, those difficulties which came upon the people of the past, you haven't tasted them yet. مَسَّتُمُ الْبَأْسَاء وَالضَّرَّاء. Ba'sa, difficulties, wadara, severity came upon them, it afflicted them. And until to what extent? Hatta zulzilu, to the extent that they were completely shaken. And they were completely shaken and they began saying that where is the help of Allah? Meaning that, oh Allah, send your help quickly. We don't think we can bear it any longer. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his answer to Sahaba radiallahu anhu was that the help of Allah will come. But part of Iman is that crunches come. And in crunch there is adversity. Alif lam mim ahasiban nasu ay yutraku ay yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun. In another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ahasiban nasu ay yutraku ay yaqulu amanna. Someone has said, amanna, I believe in Allah. He has Iman. He has accepted Iman. Oh, he already has Iman from the onset. So, does he think yutraku Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be left alone? Wahum la yuftanun, he won't be tested? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when a person has Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests him. He wants to make sure how firm he is on the requirements of that Iman. What is Iman? Iman is him saying that nothing is my goal, only Allah is my goal. La ilaha illallah, there is no deity except Allah. Nothing is my goal, Allah is my goal. So in this world, if you express your love for someone, they test you as well from time to time. If the son or the daughter expresses the love for the parents test it out from time to time as well. Friends, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Iman is an expression that of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we test that. That claim he is making, we test it. Now the Sahaba radiallahu the Mufassir, in particular the great Mufassir, Hazrat Mawlana Shaykh Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi, says underneath the first verse, he says that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give them a very high rank in Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a lot of capability to bear a lot of difficulty. So for them, the testing was very difficult. For them, the testing was very difficult. And for us, weak people, ordinary people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not test us to the same heights, but He will definitely test us. And the minimum test is this, that crunch comes, clashes come. Sometimes you have to do something and you think other people will, sometimes other people will look at me, other people may criticize me, they may mock me. One of the Hazrat Mawlana Shafi'i Tahmi, he wrote to him and he said that the place where I live, no one has a Shar'i beard. No one has a Shar'i beard. What is a Shar'i beard? Shar'i beard is a beard which, number one, a person has a beard, and secondly, he keeps it to one fist. He keeps it to one fist. And the ulama said this is a wajib. And the reason the ulama said this is wajib is because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in multiple hadith, he said, lengthen the beard. Lengthen the beard, multiple hadith. Some ambassadors from the Persian Empire came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their style was that they had a lengthy mustache and no beard, completely shaven. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very courteous, very polite and very warm to ambassadors. Because number one, it was the culture of the Arab people. And number two, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, above that, his akhlaq was very of a very high caliber. So he was very, very courteous and very polite to ambassadors. But when these ambassadors came, and they came into the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned his face away from them. And turning his face away from them, without looking at them, he asked them, who told you to make your face like that? So the two ambassadors, they said that our king, our emperor encourages it, that must have been the style that was prevalent. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but my Rabb commands me to shorten the mustache and to lengthen the beard. So, yeah, I should mention, I was actually mentioning the incident of the murid of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, but you should mention, person should try to keep, should keep a Shar'i beard. It is one of those things that once you get it done, then it's done. And it's easy to stick to it, alhamdulillah. But until you don't do it, you have this mentality that what will people think? People will think that, people will think this. And once you get it done, you realize you are the same old person. No one is criticizing you any further. No one is looking at you in a strange manner. It is just all shaitan's play inside our heart and mind. So Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, one of his murid wrote to him that the place where I live, no one has a beard. And people mock me. People mock me. So Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah wrote to him that endure that mockery. Endure that laughter of theirs. So you don't have to cry in the hereafter. Meaning the clash come in different forms for different people. Sometimes for a person, his clash is his own family. He wants to carry out the command of Allah, and someone in his own family doesn't want to let him. Sometimes the clash is the society. Sometimes the clash is the workplace. The clash is different for each person, but clashes are always there. And in these clashes, you have to choose this world or the hereafter. That is what Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said. That there you have a choice. You can benefit your worldly progress, but you will harm your hereafter. Or you can benefit your hereafter, but you will harm your worldly progress. So now a person has a choice. So how does a person decide? Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu to explain that to us as well. He said that one of this world and the hereafter is temporary and the other is everlasting. One is temporary and the other is everlasting. And it is an accepted principle that every person understands. Every sane person understands this, whether he follows it or not. Every sane person understands that the long term is more important than the short term. Yes, sometimes a person will, every person understands that if I save up for my necessities, whether it is a house, whether it is, that is more important, that is more beneficial, that is what I should be doing, instead of splashing the cash here, there, for this enjoyment, for that takeaway, for this, that. Every person accepts it. Yes, it's a different matter that some people, they can't control themselves and they do it. But they even understand. It's a principle. So Ibn Mas'ud said, apply that same principle here. On one side, you have something which is temporary, this world. On the other side, you have something which is not long term, it is everlasting. So فَآثِرُوا مَا يَفْنَى عَلَى مَا يَبْقَى. Give preference to مَا يَبْقَى, that which is everlasting, over that which is temporary. Now, after mentioning this statement, in light of this statement, my intention today is to discuss one verse of the Quran. And this is the point which I wish to mention today. Which is that in this verse, in this statement, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that cases will come where in your quest for the hereafter, you will have to harm your world. You will have to harm your worldly progress. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a verse in the glorious Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أُنْثَى. Whoever carries out good, meaning whoever is obedient to Allah, مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أُنْثَى, be it male or female. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and they have iman. The condition is they have iman, and with that they are obedient to Allah. Then, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We will give him a good life. We will give him a good life in this world. وَلَنَجَزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And we will give him the best reward for in the hereafter for what he did. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that in return for iman and obedience, you get two things. One is the best reward in the hereafter, Jannah, the enjoyments, the pleasures of Jannah. And that is the real reward, that in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a good life. But the question here is, that according to the statement of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, if you want to remain obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from time to time, you will have to crush your worldly progress. You will have to harm your worldly progress. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you are obedient to Him, He will give you a good life. So on one side, you are harming your worldly progress, and on the other side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying He will give you a good life. How are both of these possible? The answer to that lies in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means by a good life. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will give such a person a good life, what does he mean? The Mufassirin, those who have explained the glorious Quran, they have said that this means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill his heart with contentment, with satisfaction, with happiness. And it is a reality that whatever a person tries to do in this worldly life, whatever a person tries to achieve in this worldly life, be it wealth, be it fame, be it comfort, the end result is always, I want satisfaction, I want happiness, I want contentment. That is always the end result. But one person thinks that if I earn a lot of money, that will keep me happy, that will keep me content, that will keep me satisfied. Another person thinks that if I become very famous, then that will keep that is happiness for me. A third person thinks if I fulfill my carnal desires, my lust, that is what will keep me happy. That is what will keep me satisfied. That is what will keep me content. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will have to harm his worldly progress, but despite harming his worldly progress, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him content, satisfaction and happiness. And that is not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these are things that exist within a person's heart. A person can have nothing in this world. He can be without a roof over his head, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give him these things in his heart. He can have no food on his plate, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give him these in his heart. And on the other side, he can have everything, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't snatch these away. And I don't need to give you evidence for that. Go look in the news from time to time. So-and-so celebrity is a victim of depression. So-and-so famous person who has millions has committed suicide. So-and-so person can't sleep at night. It's evident that these ultimate objectives in this world, satisfaction, contentment, happiness, they lie solely in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they lie in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person is obedient to Allah and he has iman, despite having to harm his worldly progress, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him this. What the means is, it's up to Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him this. And on the other side, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, whoever turns away from my reminder, he's not ready to obey me in this one. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. For him will be a tight, a restricted, an unpleasant life. So here's the same thing. Tight, restricted, unpleasant life. But he is given worldly progress, preference at every turn, and he is progressing in the world. So how is he going to have a tight, restricted, unpleasant life? Same reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may let him progress in the world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sooner or later snatch these qualities away from his heart. Contentment, happiness, satisfaction. So in reality, when we have iman and we are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even though we think, I'm sacrificing this world for the hereafter, in reality we are gaining this world and the hereafter. It is just that in this world, when we are taking that step, it seems we are taking a sacrifice. I'm giving zakat, my bank balance went down. I had the opportunity to take this haram money, because of that I didn't. So and so is taking that option. So he is progressing ahead of me. I'm falling behind. I'm practicing upon the commands of Allah, because of that I'm not as popular in my family. Because they say that, let's go here. I say that, sorry, I can't go there because of this, that. Let's go out to Notre Dame. Sorry, I can't do that. So I'm not as popular. So I'm being harmed in this. It seems to us. But in reality, a person will not be harmed. So let us understand this. And let us make this the encouragement for us to always give preference to the hereafter. And let us not make this our mentality, that I will practice upon deen as long as I do not have to sacrifice my world. That means I will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as I don't have to displease myself. What does that show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does that show that a person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What must Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala think? For him, obeying me is a matter of convenience. No, show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am ready to obey you, whether I have to harm my worldly matters or not. And yes, it's a different matter that a person has this intention, and sometimes overcome by his desires, he slips. But this should be his intention. That always preference to the command of Allah. And when he does this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely take care of his hereafter, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of his world as well. So, let us make this a goal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to practice upon this. A few announcements. Points before we finish. The first is that this weekend, on Saturday after Isha, will be our monthly program. So everyone is requested to participate in there as well. And secondly, Ramadan is around the corner. So we have said this previously, that the preparation for Ramadan should start now. And what is preparation for Ramadan means? All those, very simple, all those things that you and I give importance to in the month of Ramadan, slowly but surely start them from now. And if they are already in your life, slowly but surely increase them. Second thing. And third thing, keep making dua for the condition of the Muslims in the world, especially in Palestine and Gaza. The reason I am saying this is because after adversity carries on for a certain amount of time, then unfortunately people stop talking about it. It stops coming in front of us, and very often that thing that is extremely beneficial, whether we realize it or not, which is dua, and which is not difficult to do, we stop doing that as well. So make it a point to carry on making dua in every dua of yours. And I always tell people this, that to never ever think that my dua is not being effective. Who knows, right? Today after salah you made dua, Allah help them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't removed the adversity completely, but he has created ease in one person's life there because of your dua. Dua has its effect. It's just that we don't see exactly where our dua had an effect. But it definitely has an effect. If the people in the world right now who are making dua weren't making dua, then the situation in Palestine would be so much worse. And for every single person who has made dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted it, the situation has got that much easier. That much difficulty has increased. So a person should think, it is my responsibility. They are my Muslim brothers. In reality, I should be helping them and removing this difficulty from them with all the means possible. But unfortunately, the situation is such that I am unable to. I am at least going to make a dua. So on the day of judgment, I can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I did what I could. So this should we should carry on with this. We should, just because it is mentioned less and there is less media coverage, we should not remove this very important ma'amul of ours.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a topic to practice upon this. I mean, wa khidna wa alhamdulillah.